Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Let's go ahead and let's jump into the message today. As I was preparing the message, I was thinking about, and I couldn't believe that it had been 6 years ago now, but Carmen and I took Eli and Bella to St. Augustine. And if you've never been to St. Augustine, it's the oldest city in the United States. It's on the Atlantic coast there in Florida, just south of Jacksonville. Beautiful little city. We were staying in a resort right on the beach just south of St. Augustine. We had an amazing time. And near the end of our trip, we wanted to take the kids on this pirate ship cruise that they had. And it would sail out. There was a little bay there. It would sail out to a point. I believe they called it Porpoise Point, where they would anchor the ship for a while. And you'd look out, and there's just dolphins swimming all around the ship. Quite an experience. An experience we almost missed out on. I made the reservations, we got in the car, left plenty of time, I thought, to get to the ship. Well, as we're driving there, and we get into St. Augustine, as I said, it's a beautiful town. It's also pretty compressed, and it was hard to find parking in the evening. So I'm looking for a place to park so that we can get to this ship. And I'm starting to get a little frantic as I'm looking. I get a little more frantic when I receive a call from the people who are doing the cruise saying, "Hey, are you coming?" "Yeah, we're going to be there." "Well, you know, we leave in, I think it was 15 minutes. "Right, yeah, okay. And if you're not here, we're going without you. There's no waiting. We're going." But I'm sitting there going, "I'm trying to find a place to park. I can't find a place to park." Well, you know, they tried to help me out, give me a couple ideas. Thankfully, I found a place to park, and we made it onto the cruise just in time. And it was a great time. Like I said, we got to see the dolphins. Eli got to do some sword fighting with the pirates. The pirates sang a mermaid song to Bella. So it was quite an experience, but an experience we almost missed out on. And it was one that they made sure they tried to call and follow up with us because they didn't want us to miss the boat. And that's the title of the message, as you see up there today, is "Don't Miss the Boat." You know, we have so many opportunities in our life where we're presented with things, great moments that we don't want to miss out on. I shared with you a few weeks ago that that worked out well, didn't it? That's the only problem with this. I need to break this Bible. I think I told you all before, I have my study Bible that I use for getting everything together. And it's all tore up that Carmen got me this one so that I could use, bring on Sundays. The only thing is it needs to be kind of broken in a little bit more. So, binding on it. Anyway, we were on vacation a few weeks ago when the Blues won the Stanley Cup. And I think I told you then, I'm like, I can't believe we got a vacation scheduled and there's something like this is going to happen. But I made sure no matter what we were doing on vacation, we were not going to miss those games. And we didn't. Game 6 and 7, we were camped in front of a TV. Fortunately for Game 7, the day that the game that they clinched it in, we were visiting some friends of Carmen's who are from the area, and they were just as much into it as we were. So it was great that we did get to experience it. But there was no way I wanted to miss out on that. But there's so many things in life as we go through, and we play the what-if game. What if I had done this differently? When I made this choice, was that the right choice? Did I miss out on something by making that decision? Should I went a different direction? Be honest with you, I'm reminded of that every day, of an opportunity where I almost made a choice that could have really not went well for me. Some of you know the story. When Carmen and I met at work, I worked for IBM. She worked for Verizon, but we both worked over in the Boeing complex. I worked evenings and she worked during the day, but there would be some times when she would come in at night to cover a night shift. So we would be in the same room. And I have a friend that a coworker of mine, his name's Dave. Dave does not know any strangers at all. So Dave would always talk to Carmen. I see him over there talking to her. And he started nudging me. Hey, you ought to ask Carmen out. You ought to ask her out. Come on, come on. And I started having some interest. One thing I was a little reluctant about was because we did at times work in the same room and the whole work, you know, having personal relationships, things kind of bothered me a little bit. And I started thinking, sensing that there was interest on her part. And so I got a job that took me out of that room. So I thought, all right, I'm going to go for it now. I'm going to ask her out. And I did. And she said no. Because, in fairness, it was like the night before, and she already had plans made. So I said, okay, I didn't give you a lot of lead time there. So then I asked her out for another time, gave her a little bit more time to think about it. And she said no again. So now I'm starting to think, okay, maybe I misread this. But she did. She left me a note under my keyboard at work one day, basically telling me not to give up, that she was interested, even though I said, you got a funny way of showing it. So I said, okay, I'm going to try again. So I asked her out, and she agreed to go out, and then we started dating. And as time went on, and, you know, things were, you know, a little more serious, I realized, I said, you know, she was at an age where it was would not be out of the question for her to want to have a family and have children. And so I sat her down. I said, we need to have a talk. If you want children, you're in the wrong relationship, because I'm done with that. No more kids. Who knew I'd be walking that statement back later? But she said, no, I understand, and I'm fine with that. And I said, okay, good. Then things started progressing along. Well, the one thing that I was struggling with was I had a hard time using the L word. And she called me on that. And we had some conversations about it. And she understood a little bit where I was coming from. And one of the things when we had first got together was she said, I think a couple should be together for a year before they even start talking about marriage. And that made sense to me. I was good with that. Well, as we closed in on that 1 year, I was like, oh, you know, I'm not sure if I'm really ready to think about marriage. And again, in fairness to her, she never said, if you don't, after 1 year, if we don't start talking about marriage, we're done. But this is how I was kind of, you know, going, it was processing in my mind. And I had a talk with a very good friend of mine. He goes, if you think she's looking for that, you need to make sure you don't lead her on. Now, he wasn't saying dump her. What he was saying was you need to really understand where she's thinking. But in my mind, I was thinking, well, maybe it's time for this relationship to go a different direction. I'm doing this myself, right? I'm not having that talk with her. Well, then God gets a hold of me. Gives me a little rap on the head. Hello, McFly. For you Back to the Future folks, you'll get that McFly. Really? You're going to break it off with her? You haven't even talked to her about this. This is someone that I've placed in your life for you. And now you're just thinking of being done with it? So God can be pretty persuasive. And I realized, yeah, he gave me someone in my life that I needed. And she, to show you how much she's willing to put up with, there's a song we had done at our wedding by Jeff Moore called If You Could See What I See. And I said, I would like for this to be part of our wedding. And she goes, okay, I'll have Travis play or sing it. Travis was her brother. He's been a worship leader for years, and he was going to sing at our wedding. I said, actually, if you don't mind, I'd like to sing it. And she was very much in favor of that. She goes, I don't know, you know. Matter of fact, when I did do the song at the wedding, her sister, who was her maid of honor, was crying, and I don't know if it was because of a song or my singing. But the chorus of that song says, if you would know you have my heart if you could see what I see. That a treasure is what you are if you could see what I see. You're created to be the only one for me if you could see what I see. And in the last line it says, if beauty is all in the eye of the beholder, then I am beholding true beauty. That's what God had given me, and I was about to push away to the side. So we have those moments of, you know, where we think back, what have I done this differently? What have I done that? And that's what this message is focusing on, is make sure we don't miss the boat, we don't miss out on the opportunities that are before us. So what does Scripture say about that? We're going to turn to Colossians chapter 4. And when Paul wrote Colossians, he was in prison in Rome. He had never visited Colossae, so he had never been among the people there. But he was getting some disturbing reports of what was taking place there. There was false teaching in the church, and they were challenging the deity of Christ. And he wasn't going to wait until, well, maybe I'll get out of prison and I can go visit them. There was no time to waste. He wanted to make sure that he addressed this situation right away. So he wrote this letter to the people, the Colossian people. Because what they were doing was, besides, they were losing their connection to the Father. I read a really beautiful illustration not too long ago of, in the beginning, of God and Adam really walking together in the garden at the beginning of time. And then sin entered the world. And where was Adam? Instead of walking with God, he was hiding from God. He had lost his connection to the Father. And that's what these people were going through, the Colossian people. They had lost their connection. And Paul was not going to wait for maybe I can get in touch with them later and we can talk about this. He said, I need to address this now. And even though I'm in prison, I'm going to write this letter and I'm going to send it to them. And there's four chapters in Colossians, and it really can be simply broke up into two parts, right in half. The first two chapters, he reinforces the sovereignty, the supremacy of Christ. And in the next two chapters, what should we as Christians be doing about spreading that message? So in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pull three things out of that right away. There's persistence, there's alertness, and there's thankfulness. And how many times do you sometimes, maybe you pray for something over and over and you get a little tired of praying for it and you want to kind of put it to the side? And sometimes I know there's a big discussion among people. Well, if I keep praying about it, it means I'm not really trusting that God's hearing it, and I don't have faith in Him. Well, no, it's the opposite is true. He wants you to keep bringing that to Him because you do have that faith, and this verse here reinforces that, to keep bringing that to Him. You need to be alert. You need to be persistent, and you need to be thankful. And that can be applied in so many different ways of our life. There's ways that we have before us that we need to prepare for the opportunities that are put before us. We need to be persistent. We need to keep pursuing them. Not just in prayer. in any time we have with God, because we don't want to lose that connection with the Father in our studies, in prayer, in how we relate to others. Carmen and I went out Friday night, and just to show you how God works, we needed to stop and get gas. And before we had moved, just about every place we went took us right past QT. So if we needed gas, boom, we hit it. Well, where we're at now, it's not that QT is really that much of a out of the way, but sometimes you have to double back now if you're going to go down there. And we went ahead, instead of going left, we went right. And she was driving. She said, yeah, we're going to need to get gas. So I said, well, there's a QT up on Highway K. So not normally someplace I would be stopping, but we stopped at this QT on Highway K. And I got to be honest with you, before we went there, I was glad we were having this opportunity to go out, but I was not having the best of days on Friday and was still a little cranky, which is not good for her. If we're going to have a date, have a cranky date. But I was a little, just one of those things. So we stopped and we got gas. So I'm pumping the gas. She went inside to get some gum. And so while I'm standing there and I'm waiting for her to come out, there's this little boy, I don't know, 5, 6 years old maybe, and I'm watching. Here's the door close. And I see him open the door. People walk out. Door closes. Door opens. Little boy's holding the door. People walk out. Door closes. And not only is he opening, he's got his hands full. He's got like a drink and a bag of chips or something here. I bet you I watched him open that door for at least 10 people. And as I watched that, I thought, that is just so cool. And I was hoping I would get a chance to talk to his parents before we left. So I think one of the last people he opened the door for was Carmen. And she came out. And as she's walking, then I see the little boy and his mom finally coming out. And so I walk over there. I said, little man, I got to tell you, you did a great job. That was so awesome what you were doing. I gave him a little fist bump. He had a little grin on his face, and his mom had a big smile on her face. She said, we've been working on that. We've been teaching. And you could tell. And he didn't just do it one time. It wasn't, I'll hold the door for somebody. He did it for each and every person while he was waiting for his mom to come out. And then from Carmen's perspective, because she was inside, she said, as he would open the door, if people thanked him, he said, you're welcome. He was persistent. He was alert. He was on that door. And he was also thankful. When people recognized him, he was thankful in return to them. That's what we're called to do here in Colossians 4. And our prayer is to be persistent, to be alert, and to be thankful about what we're praying about. Verse 3 says, pray for us too that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. And that right there would be, that's a great challenge right there, right? Pray for us that we'll get many opportunities. But wait a minute, where's Paul writing this letter from? Prison. He goes, that is why I am here in chains. Paul was in chains because he was preaching the message of Christ. But that was not going to stop him from continuing to preach the message of Christ, continuing to look for opportunities. Sometimes we can be looking for a reason to not do something, can't we? We'll just look for any excuse we can grab hold of. Our kids aren't in here, right? Okay. So, a real challenge we have with Eli is I can go downstairs and the TV where he's been playing Xbox or whatever still on. I'll go upstairs. Eli, TV's on. Oh, I thought I turned it off. Well, you need to go down there and turn it off. Well, you were just down there. Yeah, but I'm not the one that turned it on. And I'm not the one that forgot to turn it off. That was your responsibility. Just because I'm there doesn't mean I can walk behind you all the time and turn it off. We look for reasons to not do something. Paul was in chains, Paul was in prison, and yet he's still looking for a way, and he's asking the people, the Colossian people, to continue to pray for more opportunities to be made for him to share God's message. Verse 4, pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. We all know that Paul was a highly intelligent man. He was among the Jewish leaders that persecuted Christians before God got a hold of him. And yet he doesn't think he knows it all. Again, sometimes the problem we run into with in our lives, we think we know the right answer. I've noticed sometimes with and not just Eli and Bella, but with other being around other kids, where they want to, you start to say something, they'll go, "I know." Before you finish your thought, "Oh, I know." How many of us are like that, where we think we know the answer right away? Paul, who knew more than so many of us could ever know, wrote half the New Testament, is asking for the Colossian people to pray for him so that he will be clear in the message that he is presenting. He's looking for help. He's looking for intervention, not only for them, but for them to call on God to intervene on his behalf. And verse 5 is in where it really comes to a head here. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. We have to be on guard and be ready, because you never know when that opportunity is going to pop up. And when it does, you need to jump on it. A couple years ago at the Stronger Men's Conference, one of the speakers had talked about how we need to be prepared for these moments. Because you can be in any time you're in a setting. I mean, sometimes in your work, like my job, is sometimes very mundane, seems monotonous. But then you never know when there's going to be something different. It'll pop up all of a sudden. You got to be prepared to react. We come to church on Sundays. But you know what? The people that are here today, we may never have this exact same mix again. People will change. We could have this same mix and Pastor Barry could be up here with a totally different message. That moment, you have to capture the moment that's before you, and you need to be prepared to jump on it. So on our mission trips that we take, when we went to Panama in 2012, Pastor Barry had asked me to kind of go through pictures. You know, we always do like a little video. And he had asked me to go through pictures and try to help prepare a video. And at that time, a song that was really prevalent on Joy FM and around the country was by Chris Tomlin called "God of This City." And so I wanted to incorporate that into the video. I'm glad Bernie's here today, because Bernie worked with me on it. We would pass pictures and that back and forth, and I'd give him some stuff, and then he cleaned it up and put this video together. And ever since then, that is a song that we use when we have our mission. Every time, we have a mission team go out, we have Mission Team Sunday, and we play video, and we have pictures from the trip, and that's a song that is used. Because it is so important to realize that he is a God of every situation, of all the people. And what I wanted you to see today was, I had shared this probably, I don't know, 7-8 years ago or so, the story behind that song a little bit. And if maybe you have never heard it before, and instead of me sharing it, I wanted you to hear it from the people who actually wrote the song. So Chris Tomlin did the song on the radio. Chris Tomlin did not write the song. The song was written by an Irish worship band called Blue Tree. And I want you to see the story behind how God gave them that song. So, Teresa, if you could roll that video.
We are from a church in Belfast. we get asked by our missions pastors in the church, do you want to go to Thailand? And our guys being our guys are like, yeah, no hassle, we're in. Pattaya is probably the most openly and in your face sex tourist capital, whatever you want to call it, of the planet. So we ended up playing in a brothel, and via someone who knew someone who knew someone else or whatever it was, we ended up playing in a bar called the Climax Bar. And the deal was that we had to bring a whole load of Christians with us who would all buy Coca-Cola, and we would have the ability to play a 2-hour set in the middle of this bar. And I can remember looking out over my left shoulder and seeing just, I don't know whether or not it was British tourists or whatever, but I can remember just looking out, and here they are in the middle of the street, and they're just hearing these Jesus songs blasting out. And there's just a pile of them just standing outside the door, and they were just looking, and I would love to know what's going on in their heads, you know, just wondering what the heck are these guys singing Jesus songs for in the middle of this street. And I just began to sing out what I believed God was saying over that city. I just began to say that, you know, see, God is God of this city. He's the king of these people. He's the Lord of this nation. And they don't know that. They don't know that. And the song was born. The song moved from, it came out of this, just this loop that started to play, a real minor downbeat loop. And it just majored up into this, like, anthem of the night that just said, greater things have yet to come and greater things have still to be done in this city.
Greater things have yet to come and greater things have still to be done in this city.
Really, probably the biggest moment in my life that changed my life was the moment that God of the City was actually written. That point when that song was formulated. What is the church on a global scale doing to actually combat things which exist in our planet that are completely wrong? Whether it's child soldiers, prostitution in your own city, homeless in your own city, anything what's going on, what is the church doing? We should be the pioneers. We need to understand that we have an authority, that we have an authority that comes from Christ, the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in every single one of us. And that we actually need to have an attitude of going out and serving the world with just with love, you know, and actually living out the Great Commission.
I mean, who would think about you're in the middle of a brothel playing a song set, and God just giving you this song? Most of us right away would not even be there. We would, oh, I can't go there. But God called them to be in that spot, in that moment. And then he gave them those words. And then, so a little bit later, Chris Tomlin and his band were over in Ireland for a worship conference. And Blue Tree was there, and they played that song. And Tomlin was not there at the moment, but one of his band members ran in, and he goes, you got to come hear this song. This is an incredible song. And so Tomlin went, met with them, got the story, heard the funk, and asked for permission to record it. They granted him permission. And now it's a song that is so far-reaching and so impactful in so many ways. Because they were ready at that moment to seize that opportunity that was placed before them. And they jumped on it. And they took advantage of it. And that's what we're called to do, to be ready for any moment that can come up. Because we don't know what God's got in store for us. Verse 6. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive, so that you will have the right response for everyone. This kind of goes back to the message I had a few weeks ago, and Pastor Barry has followed up on it since then. We need to be aware of the surroundings and the people we come in contact with. And when we talk to them and we find out what's going on in their lives and we minister to them, we do it in love. We're gracious in what we share with them. We don't attack. We don't judge. We have to have the right response for everyone. And God's going to put you in a spot where the story that you have, just like I want you to hear this story from their perspective because it was their story. The story that you have, God gives you for whatever circumstance He puts you in and the people He puts you in front of. And you've heard the old saying, you can attract more flies with honey. I don't know, not that you'd want to attract flies, but I'm trying to get them away at home. But no, when you want to reach people, you understand what really impacts them and what reaches them, and you don't attack them. You know, Pastor Mike talked about love up here during worship. Love God has for everybody is love we should be showing as well. So we need to be ready for those opportunities, and we do not want to miss the boat. When the boat comes, we need to be ready to jump on. Because when you miss the boat, you miss out on chance of love. You miss out on chance of serving someone else, not only blessing them, but being blessed yourself. That little boy, when he was holding that door open for those people, and I told you I was not having the best of days, he lifted my spirits by watching him do that and watching him serve others. And I told Carmen in the car later, I said, I really need that because that little boy really blessed me. He lifted me up because of what he was doing, the act of service he was doing. People he didn't know, just holding the door for him. And it means so much. And he was prepared to do it. We need to be prepared for the work for it. That's why, Pastor Bill touched on it a little bit ago. You know, we touch on it every week. You know, the transition we're going through. But that doesn't mean the work stops here at SCRC. The work continues. And we need to be prepared to continue to do the work. There's ministry taking place in children, youth, men, women. Take advantage of the opportunities that are put before you. And then bring others in so that they can be blessed as well. So ask everyone, just bow your heads for a moment. And just think about those times where you realize you missed out on something. And maybe the opportunity didn't present itself again. So you want to make sure that you are prepared for that. And maybe there's someone here today who has missed out on the opportunity to accept Christ into their life. And you want to do that today. This is the time where you can just sit down and have a moment and just speak to God. What's so great about that is, I actually shared this story with someone not too long ago. They were asking about when I accepted Christ. And it was a prayer of someone. After church, he was closing prayer on a Sunday night service, and there was just something about that prayer because of the way that he was able to talk to God that impacted me. And all you have to do is just have a few moments with God, and you just tell him that you want to accept Christ into your heart. You're ready to make him your Lord. And it's that simple, and it's between you and God. So, Father, I pray for those who are here today. I pray as we absorb the message that you've presented to us, that we are prepared to take advantage of the opportunities you place there in front of us to minister to others and to serve others and to ensure that their needs are met and that they're in a relationship with you, Father. And as we do that, we continue to examine our own hearts and make sure that we are continuing to be connected to you, Lord, in everything that we do. And I just thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.